Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you're listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. Ooh. And I'm sure some of you out there who were listening to me before when I was doing this show are like, oh, we just sold out. He's sold out. That bastard sold out. And to which I can only say, God, I wish I could sell out. I am so cheap. You have no idea how badly I want to sell out. I want to sell out so bad, but no one will buy me. So, hi, welcome. We're back after a long hiatus of Widge Goes Off. For those of you who don't know, Widge Goes Off, which will probably be all of you since I had three listeners last time. Basically, here's the deal. I run a website called needcoffee.com, and I've run it in some form or fashion since 1997. And at some point, I said, you know what? I want a column. And it was my website, so by God, I had a column. And I ran that for a little while, and then I was at Corona's Coming Attractions, which probably most of you would remember me from. Did a column there called The Phantom Grimace for about 50 episodes, ran that into the ground, and then came back to Need Coffee, did Widget Goes Off again, and then I had this crazy idea. I said, you know what, this typing thing, God, preparing a column, you know, because when you're typing out a column, you actually have to think about, you know, there is still some beginning, middle, and end stuff going on, and you got to have some flow to the information and whatnot. But I thought, you know, if I recorded myself doing essentially what I would have done in the column, but kind of winging it like I am right now with maybe some notes or an outline in front of me. I don't even have that right now. But you could do it probably a lot faster and a lot easier, and you wouldn't have to type all that crap out. And I thought, oh, that's a great idea. So here was what it turned into. And bear with me, because I know this is going to sound crazy. But I thought I could record myself doing that, right? And then I could upload it to the website, right? And then, hang on. And then people could download it, okay, and listen to it on their computers. Have you ever heard of anything so crazy in your life? Yes, you have. It's called podcasting now. It's called podcasting now. I was podcasting before any of you bastards had pods. And here's the best part, okay? So there was no name for podcasting at that point. I mean, it didn't happen. So I was like, well, I need to call it something. So it's a column, and it's an audio column, so I'll call it an audiolum. Isn't that terrible? I mean, if you need something named and named poorly, and if you can't afford IBM, you just call me, okay, and I'll take care of you. No, it was horrible, because back then, I mean, now this file that you're going to be listening to is probably going to be like multiple megabytes of stuff. I mean, you know, if it's anything like Widge Goes Off was raw, it'll be probably 8, 9, 10 megabytes. Back then, you couldn't do that, okay? You couldn't have that. We would use real audio. We would use real audio. To shrink it down into the we would kind of balance between how shitty it would sound versus how big it was. So we'd get it down to maybe 150K or so, because literally back in the day, which was, of course, a Wednesday, your popularity would kill you. So, I mean, we had this problem with Corona all the time, is that bandwidth cost money back then. Now it, like, grows on trees, and you crazy kids can go out and pluck it, you know, and just go, ah, what succulent bandwidth. But at the time, bandwidth actually cost money. And so you would have to shrink things down to where they sounded like crap, because you couldn't do this 8, 9, 10 megabytes. Ah, you kids! So that's where we were. And we did that for 2 years. The last one, this is the first Widge Goes Off, really, that's a podcast, audiolum, Since the first, this is like January of 2004. We did that for 2 years, and I only think we missed a couple of weeks. And one we missed, because I was sick, and Ken did one. And you could find all that on Need Coffee still if you go search, if you Google it, you can find the old ones. I wouldn't because they're even shittier than this one, but you can if you feel like it. And so we did that, and then I just got tired of it because it was just this week in, week out thing of, oh my God, it's Monday. Oh, I gotta do a Which Goes Off. And of course, the whole thing about, oh, won't it be easier, was all just complete bullshit because I was an idiot. So then Ken was getting this new gig, and he said, you should do Which Goes Off. And I said, I don't want to do Which Goes Off. I'm tired of Which Goes Off. To hell with Which Goes Off. I don't want to do it. And he said, no, really, you should do Which Goes Off. And I said, I don't want to do Which Goes Off. I'm bored to tears. I stopped doing Which Goes Off for a reason. I don't want to do Which Goes Off. And he said, I have your family. And I said, God damn it, not again. So here I am, and I'm doing Which Goes Off. So basically, that's the whole backstory. And so I was thinking about, well, if I'm gonna do Which Goes Off again, and I'm doing this on a Kevin Smith associated website, which has like lots of dedicated traffic because people love Kevin Smith, and so I was like, well, he's got all these readers. They're gonna tune in to me for the first time. They're gonna realize I'm an idiot, and then they're gonna go away. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have this great traffic for the first episode. If there's one thing, if there's one rant that I could bestow upon the largest audience of my, podcasting audio blah, 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 career, what would that be? And then, next week they'll, based on my usual listener retention abilities, I'll probably have five of you. So I thought, well, what could I say? And this is going to sound like something that you're going to think, like, everyone knows this, but you have to understand, I've been to conventions and I've said basically the same thing to people, and I've always see some light bulb come on in the audience where they just have never had it put to them like that, and all of a sudden the veils have lifted and they go, oh my God, you're absolutely right. So here's something that I have been meaning to say to all of you for some time now, and now that I have this platform from which to do it, I shall now do so. So here's the thing. You are in a bad relationship. Okay? You're in a bad relationship. And I know that once I've said this, you know how it is when you have friends that are in bad relationships. When you try to talk to them about it, you can see it. I mean, the door is shut, right? The mind closes because they're besotted, they're emotionally invested in this other person. In this other entity, this other thing, tree, rock, whatever. And you try to tell them that it's a bad idea, and they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. But I want you to remember when you've had those conversations, been on where I am with you right now in that conversation, and try to keep an open mind about what I'm going to say to you, because this is important. You're in a bad relationship, okay? And look at the signs. I mean, you've seen this in your friends, right? When they've been in bad relationships, think about it. Think about the people you're in a relationship with right now. It's never their fault, is it? Is it? It's never their fault. No matter what happens, it's not their fault. Normally, they can somehow twist it around to where it's your fault. You know what I mean? And you didn't have anything to do with it, right? So there's that. They seem like they like you on the surface. They want to seem like they like you, but really deep down, when they're talking amongst themselves and amongst their friends, they hate you. I mean, they don't care for you at all. They're just using you. They're using you. So there's that. And really, they're abusive. I mean, they call you stupid, and they you don't act like they want you to act. They want you to be like something you're not. And isn't that the worst part of a bad relationship that you've seen other people in, is when they are forcing your friends and people that you know to be someone that you know that deep down they're not. So all of these things, the abusiveness, the lack of the lack of admitted culpability in things, the projection of things, it's all bad. It's all things that you've seen before in other relationships, and I'm here to tell you that you're in one right now. You may not even know it, but you are. And I think all of you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about the relationship that you have with the entertainment industry. And I'm not talking, and just so you know, I'm not talking about people, individuals. There are certain people who understand you, okay? Who understand you as a fan, as somebody who appreciates their work, as somebody who's essentially paying for, you know, the house they're living in and all the cool stuff that they get to do and yada, yada, yada. There are people like that who understand that you're the reason why they have the lives they do, and they appreciate you, okay? Our landlord and savior, Kevin, is obviously one of them. There's plenty of writers, plenty of musicians out there. So I'm not talking about individuals, okay? There are some assholes among them, trust me, and we'll probably talk about them at some point during my reign here before I finally get kicked off the air or kicked off the net or whatever you want to call it. So, but I'm talking to take it up a few levels. I'm talking about record labels. I'm talking about the Hollywood studios. I'm talking about book publishers, comic book publishers. I'm talking about your relationship that you have with them, okay? And here's the thing. They don't, and I'm saying this because you know how we get, right? We're DC fans, we're Marvel fans. You know, we love this band, we love these movies, we love this guy. But basically, the entertainment industry does not love you. The entertainment industry doesn't even like you. In fact, it fucking hates you. Okay, it doesn't understand you. In fact, to be perfectly honest, the entertainment industry is scared to damn death of you, okay? And here's why I say that, because like I said, they never take responsibility for anything, do they? I mean, if a movie flops, it's never anything that they did. Have you ever, I mean, I think there was one executive, and I want to say they were with Paramount, but I'm not sure, and I can't think of the name. But basically, and that's how rare it is. It's like one. I can point to one where they said, you know what? We need to make better movies. No shit, Sherlock. But basically, for the most part, they will deny everything. You know, some examples, okay? Perfect example. Going back to Paramount, the Star Trek franchise. You Trekkies. I mean, Star Wars folks think they have it bad because those among us who actually have brains, know that the prequels were shit, okay? But you Trekkies, I mean, you guys have had it rougher than anybody. I mean, you have been beaten severely about the head and shoulders for years and years. And to the point where, I mean, there are some serious hardcore Trek fans that I know that are just so fed up. They're just like, I'm done. You know, I'm done. I'm out. They can't screw me over anymore. And they just give up, you know. So that's hardcore. But basically, I mean, after Nemesis and everything, and they're talking about Enterprise, you know, going down the tubes. They came out and they were like, well, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically what they said. The franchise is just, we've overplayed the franchise. It's a little tired, you know. It just needs to rest, and it's kind of, you know, the sci-fi genre is overexposed, and we really, you know, we need to let it rest, and then come back in about 5 years when we can do some more with the sci-fi genre, and it'll all be good. And I'm like, what? What? The sci-fi genre is overexposed? You've got people who are discovering science fiction through the likes of Battlestar Galactica, which I haven't watched, but people you would never think would like science fiction are liking the show, right? And I don't watch television because I just don't have time. But people are discovering Battlestar Galactica, and that's kind of like their, you know, their entry drug into science fiction. Like, wow, you mean science fiction doesn't have to suck? And they're amazed at this. So yeah, I mean, science fiction is an overexposed genre? What? What? No, if there's an overexposed genre, it's reality television, okay? So don't even get started on science fiction. But there they are. No mention of, well, you know, it's our fault that we created a shitty TV show on the back of another shitty TV show. I mean, Voyager, for God's sake, how many seasons were they running from aliens that had cauliflowers on their heads? I mean, come on. And then Nemesis, and then it all just collapses like a house of cards, and they go, God, I didn't know that was going to happen. So same thing, Paramount again. My absolute favorite, this is my absolute favorite, Paramount with Alfie, with the Jude Law remake, which I believe was 2004. After that came out and completely underperformed, they said, oh, well, you know, we just had the elections, you know, where it's obvious that the country's taking a more conservative turn, and people just don't, they're not in the mood right now for a movie about, you know, this guy's sleeping with a lot of women. Now, I don't know about you, But guys sleeping with a lot of women, a lot of women being slept with, sounds like, it would at least do well on Cinemax. You know what I'm saying? But who thought that a Jude Law remake of Alfie was a good idea? I mean, seriously, Alfie, I mean, what's it all about, right? But basically, it's who thought that was a good idea? And then they could have come out and said, well, instead of coming out and saying it was the right movie at the wrong time, it's like, what the hell were we thinking? That would have been the right response. Kind of like $130 million to make a Poseidon Adventure remake after it's already been remade for television, okay? And don't get me wrong, I'm a big Irwin Allen fan. I love Poseidon Adventure. I love Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, okay? I love Irwin Allen movies. That's why Independence Day is pure genius, because it's Irwin Allen's V, okay? As long as you understand that Independence Day is Irwin Allen's V, you will have a great time at that movie, okay? So who thought that was a good idea? They're always having these bad ideas, and then they come out with these terrible excuses for why they didn't do well. And they don't understand. And here's the thing. Here's the absolute hubris of the movie industry, okay? Is that they put out these movies, and they're putting them out rapid fire, right? I mean, every weekend there's something opening, right? It's gotten so even during the doldrums of, like, post-Oscar season, like the kind of like once January, because January is where all the Oscars like roll out to larger to smaller markets. Like February, March, where they used to stick all those romantic comedies that they didn't know what to do with and stuff. Movies are getting shoved in there, right? In the area, kind of like in the fall, where there's summer's over and you haven't really gotten to Oscar season yet. That kind of mini doldrums. Movies are being shoved in there now. So there's always something opening, one right after the other, right after the other. So with all this going on, okay, you've got all these choices. All right? What are your choices right now? See, back in the day when they wish that things were still, again, Wednesday, when they wished that things were still like they were, we had like three channels, okay? You had iPods, you didn't have them. You had Walkman, okay? You had the Sony Walkman where you have to record shit to like a cassette tape and walk around. I know that's so alien to a lot of you, but seriously, no, honestly, we did. And you so you of course you went to the cinema because there was nothing else to do. There was nothing else to do. It was like the cinema, and then they were smart and they put an arcade like right next to or in the cinema. Because those were like the two choices then, right? Well, we can go play video games because we're sick of the three Atari 2600 cartridges we own, or we can go to a movie. Hey, we can go to both because now they have the new eight Cineplex, and we could go watch like two movies and then play video games between them. Genius. So that's how it was. Now, can anyone tell me how many channels they have on their cable? I can't. I don't even know. I know it's like in the three digits and there's like 200 of them. I don't even know how many channels that I have to choose to ignore. And not to mention books, not to mention the internet. You can chat to anybody in the freaking world. They've got all these, online games. Forget like Xbox Live and stuff. There's stuff like Urban Dead that you can go out and play. Then there's the console games that you can play with people all over the world, or you can play, I mean, Doc spending 100 hours playing. What is that? Oblivion, Masters of Oblivion, Skills of Oblivion, I don't know, Hordes of Oblivion. I don't even know what it's called. But I because I don't play games again because I don't have time. But so he's spending 100 hours on that, right? So you can easily just like lose like lots of hours into console games. There's all this shit you can do, right? All these things you can choose from. Hell, you could just do nothing but like download stuff to your iPod and walk around and like listen to music and stuff now for like hours and hours and hours. Where before it was like, maybe 30, 45 minutes. And then if you were lucky, you had the Walkman that would like flip the tape for you. So it would just change directions. I know, again, this sounds so weird to some of you, but really, it used to be like this. So you've got all these choices, right? Now, rather than thinking about, we have to compete with all these various things, and we're losing the competition. Mayhap we're losing the competition. Instead of that, what's the number one thing concerning Hollywood right now? And of course, you all know what it is. It's piracy. Yes, that's right. It's piracy killing Hollywood. Not the fact that you're creating shit and every other type of media is kicking your ass, okay? Because really, think about it. Why in the world do any of us go to the cinema anymore? I mean, unless you're going to go see something on the big screen, right, that needs to be on the big screen, right? Like a Matrix or a Star Wars or something. Because, even though some of those things are crap, you still like to watch it on the big screen because it's the big freaking screen, right? Like King Kong, the Skull Island sequence, you really need to see that on the big screen. You could like you need to have the DVD later so you can fast forward through all the other bits. But for the Skull Island, you really want to see that on the big screen. I mean, take a catheter or something because your ass is going to fall asleep and you're going to need to pee. But I mean, King Kong, otherwise fine. But now, I mean, it's like so going to the cinema, you have to let's see, you have to show up at least 20 minutes early, okay, to get a good seat, especially if it's the first weekend, right? Okay, then you have to you get your seat and you're sitting there and you're surrounded by people and people suck, okay? So that's bad enough. Then you've got the advertisements that play for 20 minutes of music that you could otherwise you would never listen to, television shows that you would otherwise never see the advertisements for because they suck, and then you've got upcoming movies, most of which suck. So you've got to deal with all of that. Then there's because you're in a place filled with people. There's the idiots with the cell phones, and there's idiots who talk on the cell phones during the movie. There are people, rattling candy wrappers. There's 7-year-olds that were brought to R-rated movies that are freaking out, that don't know why they're there, and really just don't want to do anything but like puke and like go to sleep or something. And there's people kicking the back of your seat. And then if you're hungry, or first you can't pee, all right, because you'll miss part of the movie. You're thinking this movie sucks. At some point, certainly the Oscar-worthy point has got to show up, so I can't go pee. I might miss it. So you're like, so th there. Then if you need food, it costs like your left kidney, all right. And for all of this, you get to pay for the privilege of experiencing this hellhole. You get to pay like 8, 9, 10 bucks ahead, okay? So. That's the movie industry. That's where you go. Now, I know the movie industry and the theater owner is two different things, but as far as I'm concerned, they're all lumped in together because you go to one to watch the crap that the other put out. You go to the crap place to watch the crap product, okay? It's that simple. All right? Now, so there's all of that. That's your choice. It's either that or all the other things that I mentioned. And basically, compared to that, I mean, like staying at home and trimming your nose hair sounds exciting to me, all right? Because that sounds like hell on earth. All right? Now, there's that. Okay? There's that. You could pay like just for me and my wife, that's like 20 bucks to go to the theater. So there's either that or you could wait because the DVD will be out in 3 months, okay? And then I don't know about you. I've got like a 35-inch television that's the flat not the flat panel, that like sticks on a wall and you can like pretend it's art, but like a CRT with a flat screen. Actually pretty nice. But I know that if I've got that nice rig, then most of you have probably got a kick-ass rig because a lot of you guys are gamers and your video files and stuff like that. So if I've got a decent rig, I know you guys have got like a kick-ass rig. So it's like we could do that, or we could wait, watch any of the other DVDs that we have in the interim for the films that came out like 2 months ago, and then wait for the DVD to hit, then go rent or buy the DVD. You could buy the DVD for the cost of going to the theater. Then you have something to keep, right? Which probably has a little bit of features on it. And you could watch it in your home theater and stay at home. And remember, piracy is what's killing Hollywood. These people are fucking idiots, okay? It's I mean, what absolute hubris to go with all these other things going on. We know that you would be coming to watch our stuff. Therefore, it must be piracy that's causing the problem. I mean, let me tell you about piracy for a second, okay? I was in New York a few weeks ago, and you people who are in New York probably already know where I'm going with this, all right? But for people who have not been recently or have never been, you walk through the subway and there are people with blankets laid out with bootleg DVDs just stacked up on these blankets, all right? And while we were up there, it was the second weekend of Da Vinci Code, okay? There's Da Vinci Code DVDs that look professional, I mean, with a full-on artwork and everything, stacks of them for sale, okay? So, oh, Da Vinci Code must be suffering at the box office. No, it didn't. At that point, that weekend, it did something like, I don't know, it had done like 200 million domestic and not internationally, where piracy is worse. It had done even more, and it was just ridiculous. So, let's, oh, that's so weird. Maybe, and then X3, right? X3 made money, right? Hell, even the breakup made money just because people were in the mood for a romantic comedy. So, wow, here's a concept for you. Maybe if Hollywood made movies that people actually wanted to go fucking see, then people would go see them. What a concept! And it wouldn't matter that they could go and spend $8 or $5 or $2 on a DVD. They'd still go see it on the big screen because we like seeing good things on the big screen. Amazing how they think of this, right? So that's Hollywood. That's you with Hollywood, okay? Now, it's pretty much the same thing with everyone else. It's pretty much the same thing. The music industry, again, putting out crap product, okay, that they expect you to pay what you used to pay for, right? They had to go kicking and screaming to iTunes, and then, wow, suddenly they're making millions off of selling shit on iTunes. Wow, maybe this Steve Jobs should be listened to, huh? So they don't want you to be able to do anything with your music, okay? And yet, for some reason, we still go buy their stuff. Hollywood puts out crap, but we still go get it. They put out crap on DVD, and we buy it and we rent it, okay? And then, now here's the part where we're culpable. We wonder why they continue to put out crap, okay? And yet we buy crap. My favorite example was, I did not overhear this, but it was published on a blog somewhere where the guy was walking past and basically overheard somebody complaining about the title for Attack of the Clones while waiting in line to buy a t-shirt that had the logo on it that said Attack of the Clones. All right? You can't with one hand, on one hand, bitch about the entertainment industry, and yet on the other hand, just go willy-nilly and buy their shit. Okay? And we're all culpable. I'm not saying that I don't sometimes go out and buy stuff. But I can tell you the last movie that I saw in the theater was Pixar, was Cars, which I enjoyed. I know for some reason people don't. Maybe they have an allergy to NASCAR. I'm even allergic to NASCAR, and I liked it for God's sake. But basically, so that's the last one that I went to go see. But what did you go see? And think about it. Was it crap? Are you rewarding crap? The only way that we're going to get these people to change is to not buy the stuff that doesn't conform to the way that we want it to be. If they put out a good movie, go see a good movie. If they put out a CD that doesn't have copy protection on it, buy it. Don't buy shit that isn't up to the standards that you want it to be. Because as far as I'm concerned, a pirate is I mean, there was a t-shirt that put it best, that your failed business model is not my problem. Okay? A pirate is nothing but a customer that the entertainment industry has failed. Now, granted, you have college students that have T1s coming into their dorm rooms, and they have no money, and you're not going to get their money anyway. So, that's one thing. But I'm talking about everyone else, okay? The people BitTorrenting shows and whatever, whatever. iTunes has proven that if you make it inexpensive and you make it to where we can get at it, we'll go get it. Because really, think about it. Do we really want to wait to get something? I mean, when was the last time you were okay with waiting? I mean, my God, I will look up stuff in Amazon, get the specs, and then go to Borders and buy it just because I don't feel like paying the shipping or waiting 3 days. That's how bad I am. And I know that's the American way, is not wanting to wait. So if you could get stuff that you wanted when you wanted it and not have to worry about, oh, you're BitTorrenting down and oh, the seed's gone and oh, man, now I'm stuck at 47% for the next 7 days. Or, oh God, even with one seed, he's got it at like 2K or something. God, it's taking forever to come down. What the hell's happening? Or when, people used to pull down stuff from LimeWire and they would be like, oh God, this, what is this? This isn't that song. This is some live cover of the song by I don't know, the Strokes. Oh God, they're covering it. Oh, what the hell is that about? And it sounds like it was recorded at the back of the hall with somebody holding up a dictation unit. Oh God, it's horrible. So yeah, I mean, between that and like paying 99 cents, paying $1.99 or whatever it is to get a show and whatever that is going to be in a decent quality that you can then turn around and watch, yeah, I mean, you'd pay the money because you're not stupid, okay? So that's the only way that we're going to teach these people to give us what we want, because they're too stupid to figure out on their own that the basic tenet of business is give people what they want, and amazingly, they'll pay for it. So that's what I think. I think the entertainment industry needs a shakeout, and it's really up to us to do it, because we need to be fed up with being called pirates and being treated like criminals. and being having DRM clamped down on everything. Because really, think about it. Who does DRM affect? Does it affect the technical folks who are listening to me right now that know that they could go out to like download.com or some Ware site and pull down a tool in about 2 minutes that'll strip everything off of it and then make it fine for them to go and put it on whatever they want? Is it affecting the people who really need to be affected? No. Who's it affecting? You and me, the people that either don't have the technical savvy or do and simply don't have the fucking time to be bothered because we're trying to live our lives. That's it. So you've got to teach them. Now, you're like, well, what are we going to do in the meantime? And what you're going to do in the meantime is very simple. And full disclosure here, I'm one of these people. And I'm not telling you to go buy my books. Wait, actually, I am telling you to go buy my books. But that's not the impetus for what I'm saying here. I'm saying go buy somebody's books. Go buy Cory Doctorow's books. Because his books are you can download them for free and then decide whether or not you want to buy them. That's where I got the idea from. I give him full credit. There are authors out there putting books online who are putting books that are very reasonable, that are like, hey, buy the book. Hey, you want to remix it? Sure, remix it. Just let me know about it. I'd love to hear it, you know? There are musicians putting stuff out there under Creative Commons that are basically like, yeah, do whatever you want to with it. Remix it. I'd love to hear it. People who actually care, again, talking about what we said before, care about you as a customer and understand that it's because you want to buy their shit that they're happy with it. That they want you to buy their shit. They want you, hey, yeah, they figure they're like you. Rip it to an iPod. I'm not going to call you a criminal for ripping something to an iPod. Rip it to 3 iPods. In fact, what a crazy idea. Give it to your friends, and maybe they'll like it enough that they'll go buy it too. So stop your abusive relationship with the entertainment industry, okay? Just stop it. Just say no to their crap. Okay? Until they start to behave in a manner that we want them to behave. Because we have all the power here, because we have the dollars. And eventually, if they don't behave like we want them to, they'll come around or they'll die. And personally, I'm fine with either outcome. It makes no difference to me. Because I'm going to be here laughing at them, whatever they do. So, that's it. That's my rant. Now the 15,000 of you listening to my voice can go back to what you were doing, and I can keep the 5 of you, and that's fine. So I'm sure I've gone completely over. My machine's locked up. The screen's locked up because I've been talking for so damn long. But that's what I wanted to put across. We didn't even touch comic book publishers. We'll talk about those assholes soon. But basically, yes, a couple quick things. First of all, huge thanks to Exit Mind Bomb, one of those artists that I was just telling you about, for letting me use their song Godzilla Will Rule You as my music, because I figured if I was doing Witch Goes Off, by God, I wanted some music this time. So now I have it. So thank you for them. I will post a link to their site. Go check them out. Go download some of their stuff. And I think their album's out of print right now, but bug them about it, because Happy Accident was the best album of last year, and I'm sorry. It's the second coming of Mr. Bungle, and I'm so happy I can't even stand it. So for those of you, if you want to write me, here's the thing. You can send me hate mail all you want about, you know, saying, oh, the prequels were actually good and whatever the fuck you want to do. But understand, I hate myself more than any of you possibly could. So your hate mail, you're just wasting your time. And I'm an attention whore. So if you hate me, you're just making me stronger. So just bear that in mind. In fact, here is my email address for sending me email about Widge Goes Off. It's widgesucks@needcoffee.com. There you go. WIDGESUCKS at needcoffee.com. widgesucks@needcoffee.com. That's what I think about myself. What do you think about me? So anyway, that's it. That's my rhyme. We'll get out of here. And we will start again next week. And, you know, every so often, maybe our EIC Ken will show up and party with us some. But, you know, he's a busy guy now and has all this power and stuff, and it is going to his head. And I don't fucking know. So I don't know how often we'll see him, but, you know, he's welcome to show up anytime he wants. And pretty much anybody else is welcome to show up anytime they want, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, yes, thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. And until then, be good.